Welcome and listening to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to feel those good vibrations coming from the joy that his love can bring, turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your good old-fashioned radio on. Or maybe these days you listen through the internet or prefer to download your favourite programmes on your iPod. But whatever method you choose to listen, I wonder what kind of content you'd be hoping to hear on a Catholic radio station. That question is at the heart of a conference taking place here in the Vatican this week, as heads of Catholic radio stations from around the globe gather for a conference focused on better defining their identity and mission in today's high-tech society. The Vatican's own Council for Social Communications, headed by Archbishop Claudio Celi, has organised the three-day meeting, which opened on Thursday at the Pontifical Urbanianum University. Participants will focus on the very different cultural contexts in which radio stations are working on the different continents and how they can make better use of new technologies to promote basic Christian values and viewpoints.
Turn your radio on.
One aim of Catholic radio is, of course, to present the good news of Jesus Christ, of his love for all human beings. Another is to defend the worth and value of human people in different situations, and then to celebrate human achievement and culture, art, music, literature.
Monsignor Paul Tai is Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications.
I think this is a meeting that we've decided to have to gather as many people as possible. And the first thing to underline is the fact that we've had a very positive response. We've over 100 people coming from 50 different countries representing 60 to 70 different radio stations. And our primary interest is listening to their experience of what it is to be a Catholic radio station in their own countries, in the particular economic, political, regulatory environments in which they work, demographic situations in which they work, to look and see, is there something specific that characterises a Catholic radio station independent of the particular context in which it works? We don't have a one-size-fits-all model ready to give to the people who come here, but it's enabled them to talk about their own experience of being Catholic radio stations, what their priorities are, how they understand their own identity and mission as Catholic radio stations in their own specific context, and then to see if working together. And a lot of this Congress is about the people working in groups, reflecting on small inputs that have been given by different participants in order to formulate, if at all possible, an overview of what it means to be a Catholic radio station in the present situation.
Now, it was only a few years ago we were hearing that radio was really on the way out with the advent of web technology, mobile phone technology, all these things that were supposed to replace radio. What do you see as really the role of a Catholic radio in our very high-tech era?
I think there's two issues there. There's one about radio in general, and then there's something about Catholic radio in particular. I think radio has survived, and in funny ways, radio has maybe become more powerful through internet and podcasting. So I can now sit in the breakfast and listen to RTE from Dublin in a way that I couldn't have done before. And it means that radio now, I suppose the part of the thing of radio per se is radio involves us listening. We can often do other things at the same time. And I think that's a key to radio. It allows you to have it there as the background. And that's why there's something about radio that maybe will always is going to survive. Catholic radio then in particular, I think, has the potential there that Catholic radio stations are now recognising that the new technologies, where they're available, and this is one of the things we're going to look at and see that in some parts of the world the new technologies are not terribly available and it's back down to using traditional forms of radio broadcasting. But one of the things that's about it, there is something of immediacy of the word to the person who is listening. I think Catholic radio stations then in particular have that possibility of being quite local, and yet the new technologies allow them then to be universal and global at the same time, so they can broadcast to a local community, and a member of that community in another part of the world potentially could be listening to it on internet. So I think one of the things that the radio can do is it can create community, a sense of belonging. People have their programs that they listen to. And one of the things, I suppose, for Catholic radio is to have a sense of who are our audiences. At the same time, you may want to speak to your own natural audience, your believers, people who want to hear news about the church and things that are happening locally. Equally, you're listening to, there are people listening to who don't share your faith, who you're not trying to proselytize, but you are equally trying to speak, form their understanding of the church by what they hear from you. So I think one of the things that's going to emerge on this very strongly is we're asking people to reflect a little bit on who's listening, what are they hearing, to whom are we communicating? And I suppose my own background in communications, I've always been very interested. One thing is, what am I saying? The other thing, what is the other person hearing? And what are the filters through which we're working? And as radio, often the local broadcast will also be heard and picked up on in another world. It means we have to be reflecting all the time on how different people are going to hear what we're saying.
These questions about audience are very difficult, because while you can monitor hits onto a website, it's very hard to monitor exactly who's listening to your radio programmes, isn't it?
It's extraordinarily difficult. I think in some local context, there is an immediacy to it. And one of the things I was quite taken by is listening to, we had an ad limina visit here from the bishops of Haiti. It's very clear there, obviously in a culture where the spoken word is particularly important, but that because their radio station is transmitted then locally, they have a very strong sense of reaction. And I think local radio will often have that. They'll get immediacy. There can be, from what I've seen of some of the Catholic radio stations, audience participation is an important part of it, and you get an idea of who's listening. I think for people who are working on a broader scale, you're broadcasting out into the dark. You don't know where your words are going. You don't know what context they're picked up in. But I think anybody who's worked in any form of communication will have had the experience of hearing stuff that they've said come back to them or being reflected on. You realise, yeah, there is an importance there. I think one of the interventions that I was, Father Kuprowski uses this very nice image where he talks about the difference between biblical time and media time. In media time, we're trying to assess audiences and what they're reacting and what they're doing. And his notion of biblical time, where we're sowing a seed, we're throwing it out there, we're scattering it, we don't know where it's going. And yet we're trusting that something can resonate. And I suppose insofar as Catholic radio is going to be rooted in the word of the gospel, I think that word will always have the capacity to resonate with the human heart. And that's partly what gives us a certain confidence in the value and worth of what we're doing.
Mentioned, though, that many of these radios will be in countries where Catholics, Christians are not the majority at all, maybe a very small minority in, for example, an Islamic country or in other parts of the world. And you said it's important not to be proselytizing. This is a tricky situation, a delicate situation, isn't it, for the radios?
It's a very delicate, because I think it's very clear from what I've seen so far that none of the radio stations are in the business of proselytizing. Yet there may be others who do see the very fact that they're broadcasting a Christian message as a form of proselytization. So therefore we can't say we're not going to speak our truth, we're not going to speak of Jesus Christ, we're not going to do that in a way that is inclusive of others. And yet there are situations in which maybe there are people who would not wish to have any presence of the Christian word or the Christian gospel being broadcast. So obviously when I say that we're not in the business of proselytization, that's in accordance with our definition of proselytization, but neither are we going to be in the business of denying the truths that are important to us. And that's why one of the things is very important is we're here in Rome, we're at a certain remove and distance from many of these more difficult situations. Why in the first session in particular of our conference, we're inviting people from different realities to speak to us about their realities and to tell us about the challenges that they find. And they vary enormously. So you have situations, say, we have people from the United States where there's an extraordinary range of radio available. How do you work out a niche for yourself there? We have people coming from Asia where Radio Veritas Asia service is broadcasting across an extraordinary range of countries where they're trying to obviously meet their own believers and have something to say for them and yet be conscious that there's a potential there of saying something that's important for society as a whole. So a lot of it will be about listening. And then together trying to see where maybe we may can support and help one another with suggestions as to how we can best work in these environments.
You are in my head.
can also play a crucial role, can't it, if you take countries in conflict or even post-conflict situations and the particularly delicate role that it can play there in trying to bring society back together again to promote reconciliation.
Yeah, it's one of the real challenges is, I suppose, I come from Ireland, we've been through a process there, and one of the things that my Archbishop Dermot Martin has always said is the good politician rises above the tribe and can bring people to a better vision. I think the good communicator, and particularly the good Catholic communicator, will have to be able to rise above the tribal, not get trapped into one side of situations of conflict. We've had very eloquent testimonies. I was talking to somebody who worked in Burkina Faso at a time of real conflict there, where, as the priest director of a small local radio station, he went on air and tried to talk people into a more peaceful state of mind for about 2 to 3 hours, conscious that there were people outside his radio station who would have been quite happy to come in and put him off air because he was not going with the message of the day. I think this is, above all, it's about recognising the heroics of people who have been able to speak for peace, who've been able to be the word of reason at times when reason is in short supply, and to support and acknowledge that and hold that as an example for all, so that we navigate by what is best rather than by what is maybe being trapped by failures that have happened in particular situations.
Certainly we've seen situations where radio has helped to inflame the conflict. We think of Rwanda, for example, and these are very dangerous situations, aren't they?
There are always dangers in situations of civil strife that we side with one or the other, and we maybe unwittingly inflame a situation. But I think it's hugely important, above all, that we see the potential that our gospel is a gospel of peace and justice. It's a gospel that speaks of the dignity and worth of every human person, not just of those who share our views or our ideologies or our tribal affiliations. It's hugely important that we have this sense of the civil responsibility of radios. That's why one of our sessions is going to look at the whole thing of Catholic radio in the civil sphere and the importance of recognising why there may be need for regulation of radio in areas, even though at times people would like to have a free hand to do what they like, that we have to be conscious of the responsibilities there to ensure that radio always is working for the common good of society in general.
You're talking about Catholic mission and identity, and yet, of course, there are many voices within the Catholic world too. How much do you think radio should be perhaps a vehicle for letting these voices come through?
I think we're talking about Catholic mission and identity. One of the things, if certainly, that would emerge very strongly is that we're starting from the bottom up. We're asking the people who come to tell us what they think it means to be a Catholic radio station, what it means in different situations to be a Catholic radio station. And from that, we then begin to work towards an understanding of what the parameters are. I mean, I think radio has an enormous capacity to allow for debate and dialogue and discussion. And I think in many ways Catholic radio can contribute to that ongoing debate that there is within the church around so many different issues.
And my thanks there to Monsignor Paul Tai, Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications.